Let's start with the Mishnah on Lamed Hey. So the Mishnah on Lamed Hey tells you as follows. Eilu dvarim shadam yotzei bahen yidei chovato bepesach. These are the things you fulfill your obligation on Pesach. Now, if you remember, we didn't do this Mishnah, but we did the following Mishnah. What was the following Mishnah? Following Mishnah, not Gemara, but we did this before Pesach, which was Maror, right? And remember we said that one of the things you have to keep in mind is that by Matzah, it's very clear that these Minim are Dafka. That's only these species, which is part of why we had to figure out whether the same thing was true of Maror, whereby Maror, who wrote, many Rishonim thought that it was specifically these species, but Rashi, as we saw, thought that it's Kol Davar Mar, that it's anything which is bitter. But one of the problems is that if you're reading the structure not of the Gemara, but of the Mishnah, and you parallel the Mishnah, it's a very weird read, because then you're saying that even though we have two consecutive Mishnayot, one which says Elu Dvarim and is specifically these five, and then you have Elu Dvarim and it's not specifically those five, you have to explain why one would do something like that. But we noted that. But this is the Mishnah. Now, if we go backwards, where you got this? Well, maybe, and we're going to see, right? So we have to say these. What are these species? And yeah, does the order matter? Which there is, we're not going to spend too much time on it, but there is a minog to only use wheat, even though technically you can use all five. So what are the five species? So bechitim. Chitim is undeniably wheat. Se'orim, undeniably barley. Good. Now, if you go into a supermarket and you ask for se'orim, what will they give you? Blank stares. They will give you blank stares, right? Because for some reason, we have a perfectly good biblical and rabbinic word for barley, and they don't use it in Israel. No, it's grisim. So if you ever try to go into the store and you want to make, what's it called? You want to make cholent, and you're looking for barley, and you ask them for se'ora, they'll say, what are you talking about? If you say grisim, they'll say, ah, grisim. What? No, I did it once. When I first made Aliyah, I went in and I already needed barley and I went and asked them, they said, what is that? I'm like, it's a biblical word. And then I eventually figured out, they're like, oh, grisim. I'm like, oh, come on. Which very, very awful. Yeah, exactly, right? Okay. Kusmin, Vishifo, Vishifo Lachual. So what are they? So probably spelled rye. Good. And then Shifo Lachual, which is one of those that we're really going to try to figure out what it is, but we'll see. So the Gemara says, these are the five, v'yotzin b'dimai, but then it brings halachic things you can use, dimai. Again, these are a million different sugot which we could spend forever on, but what's dimai? What? It's something that might or might not have had mice or given on it, exactly, which, therefore, me, right, domai, what is this? As I know, you got it right. Domai, what is this? So therefore, biblically, it is permitted because of Rov, Amear is Masr, right? Most people do give Maaser, even the uneducated, but Midrabanan it's Asr, or Maaser Rishon Shnitla Trumato, and Maaser Rishon that you gave its Trumat Maaser, and therefore it is no longer Tevel, it's no longer forbidden, or Maaser Sheni Vehekta Shniftu, and if you have Maaser Sheni, which you have to bring to Yerushalayim in what years? Opposite. 1, 2, 4, 5, there you go. Very good. The hektish and iftu, and that which is kodesh is redeemed by kohanim, bichalo vitruma kohanim, or allowed to, and therefore given challah, which is, what's challah? The dough that you separate, how much is it? How much do you separate? Nope. So biblically, how much do you separate? Any amount. Rabbinically, how much do you separate? Nope. I see you haven't learned Mishnah Archala. What? Nope. So if you are a baker, 1/48. If you're a non-baker, 1/24. What? That's a good question. If you want, I can send you my share. I gave one, I had to give in one share an overview of all of Hilchot Challah to Smicha guys before Pesach. It was crazy.
Oh, this Pesach?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. They asked me, they're like, can you give an introduction to Challah? I'm like, how many shiurim you have? One. I'm like, all of Hilchot Challah? I'm like, all of Hilchot Challah? You know that Hilchot Challah is like 8 long simanim in Shulchan Aruch. Like it's, yeah. I'm like, it's as long as, anyways. But, it was fun. Of a lobit tevel, not tevel, what's tevel? Something that you were not mafresh truman meiser. Veloba Masa Rishon Shalom Nitra Trumato. Masa Rishon, you didn't give its Trumat Masa to the Kohen, right? Masa Rishon is what's given to the Levi. He gives a portion of it, a tenth of it, to the Kohen. If he didn't separate Trumat Masa, then what is it halachically? Tefel. That's why you can't use it. It's Usur. Veloba Masa Sheni Vektis Shalom Niftu. And Masa Sheni, let's assume now, not Yerushalayim, that wasn't redeemed. Chalod HaTodah Rikike HaNazir, the loaves that are given for the Karban Todah and Rikike Nazir, which are part of the Karban Nazir, are these wafers, Asan La'atzmo, if you make them for yourself, Ein Yotzei Bahen, you are not going to fulfill your obligation, Asan Limkor Bashuk, if you make them to sell in the marketplace, so then Yotzei Bahen, you do fulfill your obligation. Okay, that's the mission. Now, if I asked you, fine, so we have matzah made of five species. We just stopped at the Mishnah and I asked you, okay, what is the standard? What hints does the Mishnah give you as to what standards you need from this, from matzah? What hints do we get? All I had was the Mishnah. So from the five species, good. What is the common denominator?
Grains.
So, good. So you could say grains. So now, if I asked you, okay, grains, but is it only these five? What would you have said if you just had this Mishnah?
Yeah,
probably only these five. Why only these five? But no. So, but if I asked you, so what's the source? Why only these five? So, what types of answers could you give? Okay, but now, but how did the Mishnah get to this? Okay, so let's take a step back. One possibility, what Josh is doing is a subsection of a conceptual possibility, which is Chazal don't have a tradition about this; they have an intuition about a certain standard. And they determined that these are the grains that fit that standard. Now, what that standard is, it could be the things you make bread, it could be the things that rise, it could be the... We'll see what it is. But, right, so the first question that they ask is, no one would hear over people. Okay, so let's start over here. Right, so, how did, Chazal derive the five... Right. So right off the bat, right, a priori, you could say one possibility is, right, is Misora, very good, is that they had a tradition. I don't know, these. If it was about tradition, so then, even in tradition, then you would have to ask, is it a tradition without a logic? Right, meaning, Hashem, at Har Sinai, God said these five, that's one possibility, or... There's Misora, but...
There's a connection.
And there's a logic to it. Or do you say that... No, there's a...
Standard.
Right, there's a standard, right. There's a logical standard, right? And these are the five that fill it. Now, according to both this and this, what you'd have to ask is, what is the... Exactly.
Those are two really long words, so it is...
What is the common denominator between these grains, right? That is the question that you would have to have if I just had this. So let's say you just were throwing out possibilities, right? What is the common denominator between these? And then, right, now, if you assume that it's only these five, and it's not a Misora, so then you'd have to figure out not just the common denominator, but what's the other thing you have to think about? Not just the common denominator, but... It's a common denominator, which is? Exactly, which excludes. So it's like, what is common and? Right? Right? Exactly. You're also going to have to figure out what it excludes. Right? What it's going to exclude and why. Good. So, again, if I didn't open the Gemara, I just asked you, what would that be? Yeah.
Reason under Misara. Are we saying that the reason came, like the reason is the cause of the Misara, or that like it's Misara?
Could be either way. Could be either way, right? It could be that it's a post facto explanation that God gives us a Misara and now we try to understand it. Or it could be that God gave us a list of grains, right? And now we work backwards and think of a principle. It could be either way. At this point, I'm not gonna distinguish between those, right? Okay, good. So if you just wanted to throw out possibilities, like what in these things, right, what is the standard? What is the magical standard behind these grains? If I asked you, before you get to the Gemara, remember, experiment, but... So good. So one possibility is you can make bread out of grain. So what does that mean? You can make bread. Can you make bread out of other things? So that's the problem. Well, so now we'll have to sharpen it, is the question is, well, what defines bread? Right, good. So Yona says, well, it's what you can make bread out of, but then you have to ask, what
is bread? Okay.
Is bread, right? There are many things. Like, if you've ever tried, has anyone ever tried baking for the first time and failed? Right? Yes. So you look at it and you're like, is that bread? I mean, I guess technically I put all the ingredients in, but that thing doesn't look like a bread, right? It's like, you know, and like we can have different standards, right? There could be bread that's bad tasting, but then it's like Ura's grandmother used to make chiffon cakes, right? And if they weren't, you know, like the proper like 2 feet tall, she would just throw it in the garbage. Cause, and it's like, you know, that's just not a, that's a cake that's not high enough. But to her, no, it's not a chalos of a chiffon cake. It's garbage, right? It's a binary. Right, it's not a right. So you have to ask, like, what is bread? Is like, is there a standard? Is it a binary? Is there a spectrum of good bread and bad bread? Right, you have to ask, what is bread? Right, what is bread? So good. So what is bread? What are the standard? Might it be?
So maybe it's that you can fulfill the mitzvahs that have to do with bread with these things.
Because, but what? How? What? Why? What is it about? What? No, but what is it about it? So what is it about bread? Right, what is it about these that makes bread that you would think is unique to these five? Good. So another possibility is rise. Right now, do other things rise?
Yes.
So this is an interesting question. Do they?
Okay.
Do they rise? Ah, good. So thank you. Very good. That forced you to ask, well, what does it mean to rise? So if you take rice bread, right, and you throw in a pound of yeast, will it rise? It will. It will. Right? Then what happens when you put it in the oven, though? It'll flatten. Right? It'll collapse. Right? There are things that rise. Right? You have to define rising. Meaning, if I pour a cup of soda that I just shook, will it rise? I mean, in a sense, it will rise. Right? It will then, it might explode. Right? So you'd still have to define, well, what does rising mean? So now, what? Good. So it could be fermenting, right? So now you'll say, okay, but there are other things that ferment. So you say, oh, well, maybe it's a certain type of fermentation, or it's fermenting and rising, right? But you understand how you look at this Mishnah and you're like, okay, there clearly these are related, right? Obviously they're related, but the question is, what is it about them that's important for this? That's the question that we want to answer. And how much evidence do we have from the Mishnah itself? Nothing. Basically nothing. Right? Meaning, that's why the Gemara has to pick up where it is and say, okay, well, what are we talking about? Yeah.
So, I have a question. You can't figure out the last line of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Like, the difference between the person that makes the person selling it. It's not a, isn't it about, yeah, like, right, a type of a thing?
Well,
No, so I mean,
we're not going to, unless you guys really want into the sugya, in which case we can, the logic is that someone who's selling it in the shuk knows that it might not get bought, and therefore he doesn't make it kodesh in advance. Meaning, he's not going to make it kodesh in advance, right? Meaning, people can buy it and use it, but it's not only designated for this, right? So that means, right, and that's important here. Okay, so this is what we're going to try to figure out, is what is the standard. So the Gemara says, Tana. So first the Gemara tries to explain what these are. And right off the bat, you'll see that it's quite clear that the Gemara, unlike the unclarity that we had by Maror, is very insistent that these five grains are Davka. Right? The Gemara doesn't say, these v'chule, right? This, etc. It goes and tries to define each of them. So Tana, Kusmin Min chitin. Kusmin, which is probably spelt, is a subset of wheat. For what purposes? So Rashi quotes truma, correct. That you're not allowed to be mafresh mimin al sheino mino. From one species, and the other is tilayim. Very good. Right? So one is that you can't plant them together if they're different species. The other is that you can't be mafresh. If I have a crop, I can't separate truma and maser from one or the other if they're different species. So kusmin is a subsection of wheat, shibolet, shual, v'shifon, min, se'orin. They are a variety, halachically, of barley. And then, in case you didn't know, and of course this is going to help all of us, obviously, is kusmin gulba, shifon dishra, shibolet, shual, shvile. And I know that all helped you, right? That helped you a lot.
It feels like
And in case you didn't know what gulba is, Rashi helps you and says, Dishra is shigla, and gulbe is ispilta. Yes, so that actually helps if you realize that that's spelled. Yes, but well, not actually, because did you notice he doesn't think Kusman is spelled. He thinks.
Yeah.
Oh no, he does. Sorry, that's Kusman. No, he does. Right. It's spelled. But we're gonna focus mostly on the next one, which is Shibole Tala, which is Avena. Right? Is that he claims that what is Shibole Chual? What's Avena? Oats. Avena is oats. Right, Rashi very clearly thinks of it, that Shibole Chual is oats. What? We're going to get to all this. Let's read through the Gemara once, but then we're going to see the standards the Gemara says. The Gemara says, okay, fine. Shvile Talo, rather, sorry. So, Hani in Orez Vidochen Lo. So, the Gemara right off the bat tells you that what? These, but not rice and not millet. Right, these not rice and not millet. What does that tell you? Good. That this clearly here, the Gemara does not think that this is just examples. The Gemara says these five and only these five, and now the Gemara wants to figure out. Okay, so now if that's the case, we need to figure out what is the common denominator that unites these five but excludes rice and millet. Because if I asked you, well, why would you think that rice and millet would be included? Well, do they rise? So not really, right? But they're grains, very good. Right? They're grains. Or a very simple way. If you went and you asked Rabbi Ginsburg and you said, well, can you have wheat on your keto diet? He would say, no, what are you talking about? It's a carb. If you asked, can you have rice? He'd be like, no, it's a carb, right? There is a certain logic. And it's not just it's a carb, right? It's a very similar type of carb. Right, it's a grain, meaning it's high glycemic. Right, they are right. They are similar types of carbs. Right, it's not a carb in the way that a grapefruit is. Right, a grapefruit's also a carb, but it's a low glycemic. It has low glycemic index. Right, whereas rice, it's how much of a spike in blood sugar does it give when you ingest it? Okay. Correct. So you have complex carbs, you have simple carbs, right? You have carbs with a high glycemic. We're teaching all sorts of important things.
I didn't see
high glycemic, low glycemic index. What? Right. So that's the thing, is right. So if you are diabetic, would have to know this. And right. So rice, right. So rice, wheat, all that is going to be full of carbs, and it's going to be right. What? So, well, it depends. But they're very similar in terms of how they release into the blood. They're very, very similar as opposed to a way that, like, other things are not, right? So there is a certain logic. They also fill you up in a certain way. Right? There is a certain commonality. They grow in somewhat similar ways. Not exactly. So the Gemara says, okay, but what is that standard? So now the Gemara says, Minani mili, Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, V'chein Tana D'Rei Reb Yishmael, V'chein Tana Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Kra. The rule is as follows. L'tochal alav chameit shivat yamim. Sorry, l'tochal alav chameit, don't have chameit on Pesach. Shivat yamim tochal alav matzah. For 7 days you shall have matzah. Dvarim abayim lidei chimutz, Adam yotzei bayin yidei chavado b'matzah. Yatsu elu she'ein bayin lidei chimutz, elu lidei Kircha. The rule for matzah is that it has to be the things that could become chametz, and not the things that don't become chametz, but instead become nasty. Thank you, Sircha. So, what rule do we have? There's something about them that does what?
This is the rule, right? Chimutz.
We really need to get it.
Where the marker is taken.
But those are erasers? Those are the behind.
No, not that one.
Behind. Oh, is that? Oh. It looks like. I don't know. Anyway, no, it is.
Okay. Right.
It's chimutz
versus
sircha. Right? Now, what is chimutz versus sircha? Now, we've talked about this a lot, and I'm not going to rehash all of this because we spent like all the Europe on this, which is the relationship between chametz and matzah. So here you see it very clearly. The only thing that can be matzah is that which is non-chametz, right? Which could be chametz. But what is chimutz versus sir chon? It's a good question, right? It's a good question. Like, what is this thing? Chimutz versus sir chon. It's a good question, but that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara standard is something that chimutz could be rising, it could be fermentation, right? And what you're going to need to... Now, what do you know from this sugya? What do you need to figure out? If you want to be able to define these grains, what do you need to do? You need to find some quality about them that counts as chimutz and doesn't count as sir chon, right? And if I asked you how close are chimutz and sir chon, what would you tell me?
Pretty close.
Probably pretty close, right? Because you wouldn't say it comes to chimutz and it can't be used to fly cross continents. Like those aren't comparable. There's two processes that are similar enough that I have to distinguish, and the cutoff is when whatever this process is called chimutz, and not that which is called sircha. And then the Gemara clarifies, just in case it was not clear enough, the Gemara says, I want to prove to you that these things, that the difference is very, very narrow. What would be the best way to prove that the difference between chimutz and sircha is narrow? An argument over, whether something is on one side or the other side of that distinction. And that's exactly what the Gemara tells you have by rights. That matnit and lo k'rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, da amar orez min daganhu, who said that orez, that rice, is one of the species of grain, v'chayavin al chimutzo karek, and therefore, if you're chayav on, what's the magic word there? Chimutzo karek, which means that it's not, they're arguing what? They're arguing about whether that thing that happens to rice is called chimutz or sirchon, which shows you how narrow it is. Now, I do want to take one day at some point in this whole thing and either spend a whole shiur or half a shiur on this, because briskers hate this Gemara for the very simple reason that it sounds like a mitziut machloket, right? Machloket in reality, and obviously you're in Ragin's work shiur. So, as you will see, the Yerushalmi has a wonderful line that makes me so happy, because it says, it looks at it like a good brisker, and it says, how could you have such a machloket? Right? Go and check. And you know what the Gemara's answer is? It's the most anti-brisker thing in the world, which is, al ikar bidikatan hin cholkin. They're arguing about what they found when they searched. Which means the Yerushalmi is like, you thought it wasn't a mitziyut machloket. So I have a shir, either a half a shir or maybe a whole shir on the question of whether there can be such a thing as a mitziyut machloket. There are two main sugya. This one, but the real, real main one is in the second, is earlier in the second barak here, which is yesh or ein begidim benotin tam, which is the machloket, that the Gemara has a machloket, do the sinews around the Gedanasha have taste or not? Well, it's treif, but still, yeah, I mean, not treif, it's Gedanasha. What? You can ask a guy. But, so...
They're inside.
Oh, so we'll see. Okay. So the Gemara says, Titania, the Brita says, there are biocha menuri osir ba'orez v'dochan, mivnei shekarov lahachmitz. But now, in case you were getting a nightmare, it made it worse by saying, ah, yes, Yochanan said that rice and millet are chametz, because, not because they are chametz, because they're karev. So is the machloket whether this counts as chametz or not, or whether things which are close to chimutz are also chimutz, right? This gets, so it's either a question of what is happening or a question of how do we view it, or in the very simple Balabatish way of saying it, which is, it could be a machloket of what we need or a machloket of what we have. Right? Meaning, are they arguing about what is actually happening with rice? Or are they arguing about, they all agree what's happening is rice, they're arguing about the standard. Ibayalahu. So Gemara says, shekarov lahachmitz. What does it mean? It's close to being chametz. The kadim umachmitz, that it becomes chametz earlier. Oh, but sorry. The kadim lahachmitz, that it becomes chametz like too early. Oh, dilma karov lahachmitz. Does it become chametz quicker? And or does it become chametz like easier? Right now, by the way, again, what happens? Have you ever tried making rice bread of any sort? Have you ever tried rice bread? You shouldn't. It's horrible. Why is it horrible? Because it's not meant to be made into bread. Okay. When the Gemara says that it's sirchan, it's because it's nasty. That's exactly what it is. It is. I did it once. It tastes like garbage. Because I was learning this sugya. I had to try it out. So I was like, okay, well, what happens if I make rice bread? Took rice bread. Let's see. Let's make it rise. Let's throw in some yeast. It pops up. You make it and tastes horrible. Horrible.
What?
No, it tastes horrible. Try it. Go ahead, try it. It's horrible. No, what? Ah, so you never make pure rice flour. If you look, here, watch. If I Google rice bread, here, rice bread recipe. I'll just open, okay, just, I'll do the first one that comes up, okay, just to see. And I will, tell me if you see the weird thing in this list, okay? 1.5 cups water, normal. 1/2 cup basmati rice. So for normal, 1.25 cups warm water. So for normal, 6 cups all-purpose flour. Okay, there's a reason that rice bread is has 12 times the amount of wheat that it does rice, because rice bread tastes like garbage. So now if you look at the second recipe online, which is gluten-free rice bread, right, for my kids, so they could have this horrible, disgusting monstrosity. This is what you get, okay? And tell me if this sounds like something that has a naturally good taste. Rice flour, salt, yeast and baking powder, coconut oil or melted butter, apple cider vinegar, sweetener of choice, eggs, and warm water.
Apple cider vinegar.
And sugar or honey. Why do you do that? Because it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Yes, you're not supposed to make bread from these things. I did it. It's horrifying. It's horrifying. The Gemara is not joking. Yes. No, I did it the way the Gemara wanted it. I was like, what is sirchon? I tasted it. I'm like, oh, that is sirchon. It is horrifying. What? I have not done millet bread. I can try. Okay, anyways. So the Gemara says, Yibayalu. Shekarov lahachmetz. Does that mean it rises even quicker? Odilma karov lahachmetz. Or, it means that it almost rises. But it's not fully chametz. So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Tanya Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Orez min daganu v'chayav nechimut sokarit, v'adam yotze v'dei chavadah v'bezach. Rabbi Yochanan holds, you can use it for matzah, and if you have risen rice on Pesach, your chayav, karet, which means that he holds, it is full out chametz. V'chein Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri omer, karmet chayavet v'chala, he thought a karmet, which is a type of wild wheat, my karmet arabaya she'tzinta, she'tinita, and Amar Apavash is the Mishkacha Bini Kalyanata. It's those that are found amongst the papyrus reeds, which of course is helpful to all of us. Okay, good. So this is the question we need to figure out, which is what is this standard that the Gemara has that is chimutz and not sirchon, such that it distinguishes the 5 grains from rice and millet? And then to figure out, does that help us figure out what these species might be? Okay? Now, we're going to see that the major conceptual question that's going to drive the sugya, which is the Rambam versus the Ramban here, and I'll throw it out, but we're going to come back to it, is what do we mean by ba'in lidei chimutz? There's 2 things we could mean by ba'in lidei chimutz. What are the words ba'in lidei chimutz mean? that can come to rising. What could they mean? It could either mean... What? Right, meaning it could come to rise, meaning it is a species that is has the potential to rise, but it doesn't mean that this had to have the potential to rise. It just means as a species, that is the indication. That's the siman that we're dealing with the right species, is those which could rise. Or, what is Bainli Dechim, what might it mean? This could rise. So what would an afkamina be between those? Something that's in the species, but can't rise. Like what? So we're going to see. That's going to be matzah that's made with fruit juice. The Gemara is going to say can't rise, right? Or what you might know as egg matzah, which might or might not be part of that. Also, as you know, in my house, we have amilan chita, which is gluten-free wheat. Ah, gluten-free wheat. Ah, oh, so we're going to have to see. Well, what about gluten-free wheat? Is it a species that can rise? Well, yes, can it rise? Well, that's a hard question. The flour that I buy in the store can rise, but that's because they add God knows what, which I don't want to know, to make it rise. If you think that it doesn't need to rise, it needs to be the right species. But if you think it has to have the potential to rise, well, that's because I added other things. That might not work, right? That might not work. Right, but this is, and we're going to see that this is a machloka between the Rambam and the Ramban, and this is going to carry us conceptually through the sugya. I gave it to you now, but you understand that's the major machloka here. But whatever side you take in the Rambam Ramban machloka, it's clear that this thing called chimutz is the magic thing. So, if I asked you, well, what rises, and this is where we're going to start the oat discussion. Okay, is So if I asked you, well, what is chimut? So one possibility is rising. Now, what happens when something rises? So a little science here. What happens when something rises? So good. So the yeast makes it rise, whether that's natural yeast from the air, which is made into sourdough starter, as you saw when we went to Papa Melach, or Meshach 48 now, or it's yeast you buy in a store. But then, like I said, if I throw yeast into rice dough, will it rise? At first it will, but then it'll collapse. Does bread collapse? No. Why does it not collapse?
It traps the air.
What traps the air?
Is it the gluten?
Thank you. It's the gluten. All right, the gluten. Why? What is gluten? Okay. So, here, I will pull this up for a second, even though I really would need a... We do have a graduate who's currently getting a degree in food sciences. It is. Okay, so, what is gluten? So here's from Mayer's presentation they gave at fourth grade yesterday. Okay, what is gluten? So gluten is actually made of two different proteins, right?
Maza gluten.
Right, is gliadin and glutenin. When you add gliadin, glutenin, and water, so then you get a disulfide bond formation from mixing with water, and it creates, and this is why gluten rises so well, is it creates a mesh structure that captures the air. So if you look at it, you see how dense that looks? Right, so that's why gluten is so good at this thing. I sent it to you also. Right, it is... So if I asked you what makes it rise, there's really two questions, right? One is what makes it rise, and the second thing, what keeps it risen? And that probably is gluten, right? Is the very, very strong protein, gluten. Now, it happens to be that our breads have, well, bagels, if you ever noticed, actually have. Do you know what they make? You know why bagels are chewy? You know, really chewy? What? You would think, but that's only part of the answer. The real answer is no, is they actually add extra gluten. Oro, before my kids were celiac, and Oro loves bagels, she made it, and we threw it away just before this Pesach, literally a package of just gluten. So it is, it's you add extra, and that's what makes it chewy, because it's such a tough protein, right? It's really tough. Right? Yes, you ferment and you boil and cook and da-da-da. Well, one of the things in good bagels, like if you want to make real, that's the secret to really good bagels, you add extra gluten, and our wheat, for the record, already has more gluten than it would have been in the time of Chazal. Right? Because we bred it over the course of thousands of years to have more gluten. More gluten.
First off, I want to say that that package feels like the anti-celiac. That's just...
Yes, that's what we said. We're like, back in the day. Good. But one possibility of what this standard is rising, but specifically staying risen, and the best candidate for that would be gluten. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could be that chimutz isn't about rising, it's about the fermentation. In that sense, do oats ferment?
Probably.
They do in the same way as the other grains?
No.
Not quite. Right? Not quite, as we talked about with David. Right? We talked about with David at the it doesn't quite, and that's why, you know, there's another thing you don't make bread of, and that is oats. Because you know what happens when you make oat bread, pure oat bread?
That's a surprise.
It also tastes not great. Do you know when you buy, this is true fact, you know when you buy standard oat flour in a supermarket, I'm not sure in Israel, but in America, it does rise. Do you know why it rises? What do they add? They add gluten. Very good. Very good. They add gluten. Yeah, because otherwise it tastes horrible. It doesn't rise properly. It doesn't ferment in the same way. Right? So it could be that it's the gluten, then the rising, the ability to stay risen. It could be that it's the fermentation. The problem is at this point, this is speculation. So if I wanted to figure out, right, so I could guess, I could say, the problem, I could guess and say it's the rising and it's gluten, but does Chazal ever say what makes the five grains is that which has gluten? No. So I could guess that that's what the word chimutz means, that it's rising depends on gluten, but that's a guess. I could guess that it's the type of fermentation, but how easy is it to draw the line carefully between chimutz and sirchon on the level of rising or on fermentation? Not so easy. So if I want to figure out what are these grains, so what do I need to do methodologically to figure out what these grains are? So one possibility is to look at the descriptions of what these standards are, right? What is chimutz? The other is to, yeah, is look at these lists that we have in the, you know, in the Mishnah, figure out what they are, what they're not, and try to figure out whether, right, try to identify it. Now, so that's what we're going to try to do a little bit here, okay? So the first clue about these species is that they need to be what? Things that are machmitz and not sircha. Right? Good. That's clue one. Clue one to figure out what these species are. Good. That's great. Clue two. Clue two. You know what? Let me skip for a second. Skip to eight for a second. I probably should put this earlier. Clue two is what we had here in our Gemara, but the original is the Mishnah, which is Hachitim vazunin in kilayim zebazeh. Chitim and zunin are considered the same species. Ha'seorim mushibolet shuol v'kusmin v'shifon v'apol v'spir v'proktun v'atovach v'pol alavan v'ashashom einim kilayim zebazeh. So here we have a discussion of kilayim, and we say that all of these species are not kilayim zebazeh. What does that clue give us? What information does that add for us? Good. That the second thing we're going to have to look at is similarity. Not between all five necessarily, but both between all five and then? Exactly. The subspecies that are compared were here. Shibboleth shual is compared specifically to that, right? Meaning it shares something in common with wheat, and therefore it's of the five species, but it shares more in common with barley, such that it's not kilayim with barley, but it would be with wheat, which means that if we want to identify the species, so we need to figure out, A, what is the common denominator, what is it exclude, and then we got to figure out, within the five, right, there are further divisions, and how do we explain that evidence? If you look in source 4, in the Yerushalmi, so there are two places in Shas that these five species are most important. One is here in matzah, the other is challah. Is that only bread made of the five species are chayev in challah? So if you make rice bread, you don't have to give challah.
Because it's not food.
That's right. So Gemara, the Yerushalmi says, Chamisha Dvarim Chayavim Bechala, Kulei Ktiv, Vayab Ba'achalchem Milechem Ha'aretz Tarimu Truma La'Hashem. Then when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall give Truma. Yachol you kol advarim chayavim bechala. You might have thought that all things are chayavim chala. Talmud lomer milechem. It says milechem. What's milechem? What? From the bread. And what's the diuk? Velo kol lechem. Not all bread. Meaning only specific breads are chayavim chala. Im milechem velo kol lechem ein lielachitin nesorin bilvad. So then the Gemara says, okay, then I would only know chit and nesorin. Why chit and nesorin? So, or probably that's like the most classic things, but kusmin shivol chuo v'shifon minayin. How do I know that even the next three? So now we have...
we have very interesting distinctions that are going to be harder. But here, so what groupings do we have? Okay, one group is the five versus all else, right?
In the five.
Yeah.
Another
then
is
we have
two versus the other three.
Versus...
Sorry.
Well, we have chitin and sorin versus three, and then we have chitin versus sorin and its derivatives,
right? So we actually have different divisions, and you got to figure out why that's the case. Kusmin shibol etchul v'shifan minayin tamalomar reishit arisodichem riba riba akol. We include everything. Rabbi Yosi v'shem Rabbi Shimon Dani, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Zeder, Shimon Lakish, Meshem, Rabbi Yishmael, Abba, Rabbi Mana. Oz l'kisaren, all these people said, I went to Caesarea, v'shamad, Rabbi Achla, Rabbi Zera. V'abba, havei amr le'bishim, Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, you got all those names? Good, good luck.
Sure.
Omer, nemar lechem b'pesach, v'nemar lechem b'challah. It says bread by challah and by Pesach. Ma lechem sh'nemar b'pesach, davar shu balidei matzah u'chametz. It has to be something that can become matzah or chametz, which again, I gave you the short machloket Rambam Ramban, whether that's a species thing or it actually needs the possibility of becoming chametz. Av lechem shemer b'challah davar shu ba lidei matzah v'chametz. Ubadku umatzu she'ein lechaba lidei matzah u'chametz. And they found that these are the only five things that become matzah and chametz. Ela chamisha minim u'bad, u'shar kol var minim ban lidei matzah v'chametz, ela lidei Sirchot. Everything else comes to Sirchot. And the last hint that we will point to, and this is number nine, is this is specifically for Shavuot Shul. Another way that you figure out the species is actual descriptions in the Gemara. Okay. So what does the Yerushalmi call Shual? Shura. Ro. Thank you. Zushi Bolet Shul. V'lama Nikra. Shura. Why is it called a ro? Shehi asuya kishura, because it is made like a row. I know this is very creative thinking here, right? I'm going to call it row, because it is in a row. Very good. Okay, so now, if I have all the pieces of evidence now, and I wanted to try to figure out what are these grains, and again, we're going to focus mostly on Shul, but as you'll see, we'll go through and we'll talk about some of the other grains as well. What would you do now? What would you do? You have a question before I do this. Yeah, okay.
Theoretically found like a new grain that Chazal didn't have that would become chametz. Could we use that for...
Possibly, right? Because, well, what would you have to figure out? You have to figure out whether... You have to figure out what chametz is, and then you have to figure out, halachically, is that species actually distinct halachically, right? So, like, there are multiple species of wheat, but halachically, they're probably all just wheat. So you'd have to figure out... So what would you do? So now, if I want to identify these species, what... So I have to figure out... What is chametz versus sirchot? Which is that. Which is what is unique about these five versus all else. And then, in brackets, and why is rice and millet close? Then I have to figure out, well, why are chitim and sorin divided from the other three? And then I got to figure out why is chitim different from sorin and the others, right? And then I need to look at the physical descriptions in Chazal and figure out what fits those. And just the words. If I could figure out what the word gulba meant, or the word whatever, I could... use that, right? All of those would come together to help me figure it out. So the one we're going to focus on is oats, because oats became a big problem, because for a very, very long time, most people, if you asked them, what is shibolet shul, they would have told you Oats. And why would they have said oats?
Because
we saw them. Which Rishon? Doesn't Rishon. Which Rishon? Rashi. Because Rashi called it Avena. What is Avena?
Oats.
Very good. I gave you the next page. Avena is oats. Rabbeinu Gershom also says oats are Avena. However, there was another shita that floated out by people who are, you know, important as things go, like possibly the Rambam, the Leket Yosher, and Rabbeinu Natan Ava Yeshiva. And these are also very early sources, and they said it's not Avena, but it's Segala. Very good. Segala. And if you look here, I gave you in the Aruch already. Who's the Aruch? Oh, where's Kobe when I need him? Who's the Aruch?
What?
When's Kobe coming back? Later tonight?
Yeah.
What? I think he's also switching shares, yeah.
I just got the Aruch HaShulchan.
So the Aruch is a dictionary written by Rabbi Natan of Rome in... When did he live? 1035 to 1103. We're talking really early. This machlokes is very, very old. And he quotes Shibol. Hasarim Shibol et Shual. Bekuzmin Shul Shual. What is Shibol et Shual? You see it? This is on 7 in the chart on the right-hand side I gave it to you from the Aruch. Got it? Perish Sikala. Possibility one is Sigala. V'yesh Omrim Venna. The others say Venna, Avena, Ha'asuya kezanav shual, which looks like a fox's tail. So in the Rishonim, you have two. Now, which of these makes more sense? So, well, it's hard to tell. Let's think about it. If you think that chimut means rising and something to do with gluten, which again, we have no evidence per se in Chazal, but it's not a crazy thought. So, of the five grains that we have, which of them rise properly and have gluten? Four of them, right? Wheat, barley, spelt, and rye. How do I know that oats doesn't? Well, A, it doesn't. B, if you come to my house and you give oats to my kids will be fine. If you give them the other four, they will not be fine, right? Because they are celiac, and celiacs have oats. How do they have oats? Because it doesn't have gluten. That's not true of most oats, by the way. Most oats actually do have gluten, but that's because they're grown in the same fields. You guys remember this nightmare last year on Yom HaShoah? So, okay, for Shana Aleph, guys, Pesach last year, my kids were all diagnosed as celiac, and so was Ray Wasserman's son. So we got two barbecues. One was going to be the gluten one, and one was going to be gluten-free, which is easy because the meat is all gluten-free. Just don't put your bun on it. But to make the barbecue, what did people do? They ran over to the side of the park in Gansakar and they pulled out some firewood and they threw it in. Except, what did they actually pull out? Wheat, very good. They pulled out wild wheat without realizing it. It put wheat into the gluten-free barbecue to do it. But if you had pulled out, there would also be oats there. Right? They grow altogether wild. In front of my house, I have it growing wild. It just grows. No, so this created two problems. One was the gluten. The other was, it was svichen. Literal svichen. You remember? It was after growth of shemitah. It was really problematic. It was a really bad situation. But, but yeah, so most oats, it happens to be, actually have traces of gluten on them because of where they're grown. Gluten-free oats come from one of two sources. They're either washed, but that isn't good for all celiacs, or they're grown in like two special fields in Ireland or something, which have no wheat around. Go figure. But if you think that what makes it chimutz and not sirchon is gluten, so then oats are out. Oats are out. Now, if you don't think that's the case, you think it's the starch, you think it's some other rising or fermenting, so oats may have something similar. And then you got to figure out whether it's closer to what we call chimots or sirchot. But what other pieces of evidence do we have? So good, very good. So we have the name. So the Yerushalmi says that it looks like a roe. Even if I didn't have that, I would have guessed they all look the same. But if you wanted to see a picture, I invite you to look at the left-hand side where you see the pictures, okay? At the top, you have that thing that looks like a row, which is wheat. Very good. The thing immediately below it, which also looks sort of like a row, is spelt. The one next to it that sort of looks like a row of sorts is rye. The one at the top left is barley. Do they all look sort of the same? They do sort of look the same. So now at the bottom left or in the middle, you have two things. One of those is segala and one of those is avena. Oats is the one at the bottom left. Someone want to tell me whether that looks like a row?
I don't think so.
Right. Does it look like the other grains? What about the two-rowed barley, which is segala, which is right next to it? That's literally its name, two-rowed barley. What does it look like? Right, and if that's not good enough for you, I invite you to see colors from Mayer's presentation, because there I did it in color. Here we go. Here is wheat. Here is spelt. Here is barley. Here is rye. And here is two-rowed barley. Similar? That is oats. Here. That is oats, that drooping thing on the left, on the right. Right? So these. Okay. Yeah. So what happened was that there was a professor, Yehuda Felix, who is an expert in biblical and rabbinic botany and zoology. And he was researching this, and he came apparently to Rosh Hashanah Zalman and said, you know, oats didn't really grow in Israel at the time of Chazal. Also, oats don't look like a row. Also, oats don't have gluten and don't rise. You know, it sort of sounds like maybe, possibly, and I know this is crazy, that the other Shita in Rishonim that identifies something that looks like a grain, acts like a grain, follows the descriptions, is actually a subset of barley like the Gemara calls it, might possibly, I don't want to say anything, but might possibly actually be more likely to be correct in the identification of Shibboleth Shual than Rashi's Avena, which fits literally none of the descriptions that we have in Chazal. This created a bit of an explosion.
Even though he was so polite.
So if you look, I gave you a little bit of a summary here. Yeah, so I gave you a little summary here from Rabbi Broid in English in number 10. This was an article that was published in Journey of Contemporary Halacha. It's republished online. But in case you lost it, he says, furthermore, the translation of the term Shibboleth Shual to oats is difficult for many technical reasons that relate to the scientific discovery of Shibboleth Shual found in the Gemara. The Gemara, our Gemara, in Psachim and Kilayim states directly that whatever Shibboleth Shual is a subspecies of barley. And this is cited by Mary Shonim. Oats is clearly not a part of the barley family. It is a distinct species of grain, unlike segala, which is a form of barley. Segala and barley crossbreed. And oats and barley do not, which, you know, in the Kilayim Sugya is a good piece of evidence. Furthermore, the Mishnah in Kilayim indicates that Shibboleth Shual and Shifon and barley can all crossbreed, which is simply false for oats, but true for segala. This ability to crossbreed is explicitly codified in Shulchan Aruch, and thus the classification of Shibboleth Shual is inconsistent with the text of Shulchan Aruch. Indeed, if one simply looks at the plants and the grains themselves, it is clear that oats do not even look like barley, unlike segala, which does. Furthermore, the Jerusalem Talmud in Challah notes that Shibboleth Shual grows in a row, which is consistent with the definition of segala, also known as two-rowed barley, and not for oats. One can say with some confidence that oats simply do not fit the botanical description found for Shibboleth Shual in the Mishnah, Talmud, Shulchan Aruch, or later codes. This fact casts significant doubt on the correctness of the definition of many Rishonim who translate Shibboleth Shual into Latin and call it avena or oats, and this further inclines me to think that the Rambam is correct that Shibboleth Shual has to be a subspecies of barley. No less a contemporary authority than Sternbach notes that our oats, which he calls kvikers, are not that. By the way, if you look in a lot of Hebrew Sfarim, you'll see that's what it is. They, if you're trying to figure out, they'll say they're like beinyan sheilat akvekers, akvekers are not shevat Joel, a view seconded by Yadchano.
Is it because of the brains?
Yes.
It is of course true that traditional. It's the same way they call all cereal cornflakes. I don't know. It is. Of course, true. The tradition found the Acharonim that is oats is the fifth grain. Now he notes, but many, many Acharonim, Mishnah Berurah, Sha'arach Shulchan, is common one of the last centuries, and perhaps reflects the distance Jews have socially experienced from many agrarian matters for centuries. One could make a claim that for most rabbinic matters, bracha and the like, it is reasonable to follow the historical understanding of the halacha, as these are very much matters of misura, since maker of the least the other one can make misura in any food, right? So that's an interesting question. Say moshe any grain breast bread, even recite berkan amazon any grain breast bread, etc. Certainly one can be the evident recite a hamotzi and berkan amazon on anything called bread. But that's a bigger sugya, right? That there is a svara to say anything that fills you up, you can bench on. This could certainly be encompassed at least by the ruk of Savik Bracha Lahagel, given the number of Yisharim Achronim who call oats one of the five grains. Furthermore, of course, one should never consider fermented oats, not chametz, that would be directly against Rashi, and those of many Yisharim will agree with him. And many Achronim who note our Masoret to treat oats as one of the five grains, to be leading to the Yisharim chametz on Pesach is simply a mistake. But when it comes to the eating of oat matzah, there are three grounds to be strict, and historical practice to be strict, not use oat matzah for the mitzvah of the Seder. Right, so what we get here now is a quick summary of the issue where, right, there's a lot of reason to think that oats are not the five grains. So now if you wanted to push back, and therefore can't be used for matzah, oat bread would not be chayav in challah. How could you push back on this, though, if you wanted to push back on it?
The matter is, they say...
So there's two ways you could push back on it. What? So, well, there's two general ways you could push back on this claim. One is, say that oats... Fit the description, which like, either is we have to come up, and in order to do that, what would we do? We'd have to broaden it. We say it's not about gluten, it's about something else, it's about rising, and even the partial rising of oats is still within chimots and that's like, and then you have, and but you have to, so one way is to justify all these explanations, right, is to explain it in a different standard that would allow oats in. What's the other way to do it? To shry Chavakim and say Misora. Very good. Is to say Misora, it doesn't matter what reality is. And as I mentioned to some of you in Seder, I literally listened to a shiur before Pesach where someone said, obviously oats are not one of the five grains, but we use it anyways because that's the power of Misora, and that's the lesson going into Pesach, that Misora trumps even reality. At which point my heart started like, you know, like, wow, that's scary to me. So these are the two ways to push back. And after Professor Felix came up with this, both of those ways of pushing back emerged. So some claimed, well, to question it to going against Misora and makes you a de facto heretic. So Reb Efrati, who was the right-hand man for Rebbe Yashiv, writes, and I just gave you three lines of a very long article, he says, Chalila lahanif yad b'kabbalah. God forbid that you should, the bottom, no, top here. Do not raise your hand against our tradition. And things that are established principles in Pesach, v'ishtaku ha-dvarim. May the words hamorim safek v'davar shenitkabel b'tuto Yisrael kvar hiktim agon ha-godol reyona mertzvach letzit v'chayfuk k'neged ha-me'orer ha-sefer Professor Yehuda Felix, where he said, you should sink these words who question this, as Rav Mertzvach said against Rav Felix, shkomek gizu yeshuval chuval kekveker haynu zun muteh. Right, and he goes on, it's a heresy, and great, it's heresy. Now, I will be honest, that I honestly do not understand the problem. I am, like, at a loss. Personally, I'm at a loss. Because I get it. There are certain sugya where you could say, all of Klal Yisrael said X, and now you want to get some academic and say it's Y. I get it. That's hard. Because, you know, there are different academic theories. Here, I'll be honest, that I don't see Professor Felix's claim as being so radical. Because he didn't say, the Rishonim are wrong, the Achronim are wrong. He said, the other Deya in the Aruch Right? Like the Aruch has two deot, and this one, when you look at it, fits the evidence from Chazal better. Saying that that goes against the entire Misora, to me, is pretending that the Misora existed for like 200 years in like Europe, instead of, because like, what, the Aruch is not part of the Misora? Right? It's not like someone's coming and saying, like certain academics will claim that mamzer doesn't mean a child born of people who are forbidden to each other. It was a nation called the Mamzerim. Right. So if I came and said, we're going to throw out Hilchot Mamzerut because Chazal and every traditional authority since the Torah got it wrong, and Mamzer was really the nation called the Mamzerim, that I understand. You're saying, how could you take some like academic theory and overturn the Torah? Yes. That's not what Professor Felix was doing here. He was saying there are two deot in the Rishonim. No one's denying that. And this fits the evidence better. So to me, to call this an attack on the Masora, I don't fully get it. The other way to push back, though, is to challenge some of his evidence. So if I gave you just here a summary from Rabbi David Cohen. The suggestion was widely rejected by all contemporary post-him, including Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. Now, interestingly, the Rav was very traditional on these things. It happens to be that Rav Shechter, if you go to YU, you'll know Rav Shechter will not make Mizona on oaths. Will not. Right? Because he doesn't think it is. And Ray Willig, I was listening to a shiur by Ray Lesher in Toronto, and he said that he's gluten sensitive. He asked Ray Willig, and Ray Willig is usually a big make on these things, and he said you still have to have wheat matzah or spelt matzah or whatever on Pesach, even if it's going to give you a stomachache, because oat matzah you're probably not yotze with. Right? So despite the fact that the Rav seems to have not accepted it, Rav Shechter and Ray Willig are both much more willing to, at least Lachumra, accept the possibility that this is not oats. But, as I said, some people push back academically. Additionally, Dr. Mordechai Kislev disputes Dr. Felix's archaeological and other proofs on academic grounds. Dr. Monk suggests that what differentiates the five grains from all others is not gluten, but that they contain beta amylase, right, which leads to the fermentation. And that, do oats have that? Yeah, so I said, what are the two ways you could critique the oat thing? One is to say, all I care about is Misora, and define Misora very narrowly, or you could say chimutz isn't about gluten, it's about fermentation, it's about beta amylase, it has that, which allows the fermentation to occur before the proteases cause the grains to go rancid. Rabbi Frati and Rabbi Kestenbaum record they tested oats and found that they can become chametz. That's not actually true. That's only because they have wheat on it, but they do not become rancid. So, we're not going to spend forever on this sugya, but I wanted to highlight to you the different directions. Now, there is a third direction you could take, right? If you wanted to push back. One is to just base on the Masorah. The other is to reinterpret chimutz. Now, it doesn't still help you with the two rows and stuff like that. It's not going to solve every problem. But it's to argue that chimutz isn't about rising with gluten, but something else. It's with the fermentation. There is a third possibility, and to say that five grains isn't really, maybe Shubel HaChul isn't, but despite the pshat in the Gemara, five might not really mean five. And this, interestingly, was the argument of the Safrai family. So if you ever looked at the Torah, the Mishnah Eretz Yisrael, it's a Perush on Mishnah, which is my dream come true. It's written by a father, son, and daughter, three times professors Safrai. Correct. So they have a footnote here where they write that maybe you should push back on a different reason, which is avikuach al zehut shiul chual orer metach b'shel hashlochotav el chatiot. This is 13. The debate about oats creates a lot of stress because there's halachic implications. Biram lemaisa ein ledidan ledion lezil hashlochot el chatiot. But he thinks that it doesn't matter halachically. He thinks that all grains that are machmits, and he takes this more broadly, cannot be chametz, create a chiyuv chala, kolel elu shlo nisku refers from Mishnah, right? Despite all the evidence in our Mishnah that it's these five and these five only, he says maybe that's not true. Maybe it's like matzah, sorry, it's like maror, that these are only examples. Limud HaMishnah, I think it's a very problematic. I know. So I find it very hard. I find this hard. But he says, "Lima Mishnah Manik Lanshei Alacha Klei Lavana Mayim Gdanim." The Mishnah gives you tools to understand what the grains are. The barish are called Dagana Machmetu Chametz. But any grain that would fit these rules is Chametz. Al Kein Lazuyam Du Yachshel Sugain Shalachoshel Chaldiyot. And therefore, he thinks that the precise definition doesn't matter. Okay, let's stop there for today. What we're going to see tomorrow, what I'm going to show you tomorrow, is a few things. First of all, I want to show you, I want to sort of wrap these stuff up. I also want to show you that I gave you an article here in 14 by Rabbi Dov Linzer, because very interestingly, he also ends up taking the Masorah approach, but in a very different way, right? Like Reb Efrati says, Felix must be wrong because it goes against Masorah. Rabbi Linzer, who's on the left wing of the spectrum, like Orthodox spectrum, if you know anything about Jewish politics, but doesn't really matter, except to highlight that he comes to the same conclusion, but not for Rabbi Frati's reason, not because Felix must be wrong. He's like, Felix is right, but it doesn't matter. Misora just trumps all. So this is not like you can predict whether something's on the right or left wing part of Orthodoxy and then say, he's going to change the halacha and he's not. Because here you have, right, Rabbi Yashu's right-hand man and right, Dov Linzer is the head of Chovei Torah, both end up saying, no, we follow Masorah and not reality in slightly different ways. So I want to just show you where he says that. But then I want to show you that Zohar Amar, so Zohar, guys, just quickly, Zohar Amar, after Professor Felix is nowadays considered, I think, the leading Talmudic botanist in the world. So he actually is not convinced, right? He actually isn't convinced that Felix is right. So it's not just Misara, as we saw already from Dr. Kislev, he pushed back on it, but the current leading Talmudic botanist also pushes back. So I want to read a summary of Amar's arguments in 15. I gave you just a bunch of English things. We don't have to read it all in, but I did give you that there is a little bit of a machloket about shifon also, of whether it's actually rye. So I gave you that in the end. So we're going to spend another day, maybe even two, on finishing defining the grain, just to give you where we're going. Then once we do this, I want to come back to Machlokas Rambam Ramban on more in-depth of whether, when we say Boim Lidei Chimo, which means it has the actual ability to rise or it's the species. I want to talk about the case in the Gemara a little bit later of Pat Hadra'a, which is bran bread, right? Which is made with the... Right, with the bran, and therefore it doesn't rise properly.
Entirely of
bran. So we're going to see that's a machlok rishonim, if it's entirely of bran or not. And then I want to deal with egg with matzah ashira and egg matzah. These are all the sugar I want to do lamed hey lamed bav. This could take us a week. Right, it's a lot of mini sugar. And then I assume you guys want to spend one day on whether there can be a machloket in mitzvah and chazal.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do that. So those are the four topics then I want to do between Lamed Hey and Lamed Vav. We'll right. This is like it's a blot and a half or so of material that we're gonna cover, and then that's gonna take us to the Bahrain trip. So then, right? I assume if we end up doing all this, yeah, I'm coming.